This reading this morning is a letter that was written by a minister serving a congregation in Wisconsin to one of the members of his congregation who happened to be 7 years old. She wrote a letter to the minister and said, "What prayer shall I say when I go to bed?" And it would have been easy enough to give a short answer to that. But the minister recognized that this was really a very large question. And this is what he wrote back to that 7-year-old girl. "You may not have realized it, but when you asked me to suggest a bedtime prayer for you, you raised a very important question. It is a question which people have wondered about and argued about for thousands of years. It is a question which many people think they can answer, but they answer it in different ways. It is a question which many other people are sure cannot be answered. And the question is there a God who can change people and change things if asked to? Some believe God can give them presents or make it rain or cure their troubles if they ask God in the right way. And some people believe asking God for help is a way of feeling closer to God, no matter what happens in response. And some people believe God will do what is best for everybody, and that to ask God for special favors is selfish. And some people believe God is the force of nature, so we cannot pray to God any more than we can pray to a tree or a stone. And of course, some people pray to those things. And some people believe we ought to think only about people and not about God at all. As you learn more about the world and about other people's beliefs, you will have to decide what you think about all this. With your parents' help and with the help of others, you will form your own beliefs. But you have asked me a question which can't wait until you have learned more and thought it through. You want me to suggest a bedtime prayer for now. And I think I can help if, for the time being at least, you think of prayer not as asking God for favors, but as an honest expression of your feelings. I especially mean three kinds of feelings. Sometimes you feel thankful for good things that have happened to you. And if you express your thanks at bedtime, you can enjoy those good things all over again. And sometimes you feel sorry for things that you have done or said. And if you express your feelings of being sorry before you go to sleep, you may feel better. And sometimes you have hopes for yourself and for other people. And if you express that hope in a prayer, you may see what you can do to help that come true. So I suggest that each night you make up your own prayer. It could begin, "Tonight I am thankful for," and then you could think of the most important things that you are thankful for. Then it could continue, "Tonight I am sorry for," and then you could think about the most important things that you are sorry about. And your prayer could then end, "Tomorrow I hope," and you could think of some of the most important things you hope for and think how you might help to bring them about. When you do this, if you want to pray by thinking that you are talking to God, that's good. But it doesn't matter as much as it does matter that you really mean what you say. I think you will discover that if you pray like this at night, it may not change God or change things or change other people, but it will change you and change how you think and feel about God and things and other people. I hope you will want to talk with your mother and father about this. You may want to talk to your friends of other religions and see what they think. Perhaps you will want to talk to your Sunday school teachers or your minister. Whoever else you talk to, you will have to decide for yourself. How you work out your thinking and feeling about all of this may well be one of the most important things in life. But don't let that scare you. Understanding your feelings of gratitude and regret and hope is a wonderful process. Thank you for asking. Signed, Christopher Rabel. It was a Sunday afternoon in June, I think. I was driving home thinking about the stories I had heard at church that morning, wondering how best to respond to some of the big questions brewing here, when I heard a voice on the radio saying, "Is it happy people who are grateful, or is it grateful people who are happy?" It is not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratefulness that makes us happy. The voice had a thick Austrian accent and a gentleness that comes from someone who has faced and survived great sorrow and lived with great kindness. So I listened to the rest of the show, and wasn't much more of it, but I did learn that the voice I heard was the voice of Brother David Stendel-Rast, who is a Benedictine monk and a worldwide proponent of gratitude. And I found that the piece that I had heard on the radio was just a little piece from a TED Talk, which is a series of talks which are given around the world by notable thinkers and innovators. They say ideas worth spreading. So I went home and found, of course, a video of that talk online. And there was Brother David, as he likes to be called, who has been a monk since 1953, and an often reclusive monk at that, standing on the TED Talk stage with green neon lights behind him and one of those little microphones that I have now that hooks over your ear so that you could do dance moves while you were speaking if you wanted to. And he was wearing his brown tunic and the hood of the Benedictine order, looking very much like a man out of a different time. But he had arranged himself to suit the modern world. His tunic was short and his hood rested on his shoulders, not shadowing his face. And the tunic was tied at the waist, showing that he is deeply committed to his monastic life. And then he stands there in the middle of the stage, talking about happiness and gratitude, about the given moment, and about revolution. And he appears to be a man who stands very comfortably between worlds. He spends part of each year in seclusion, in meditation and prayer, with his monastic community in a small town in New York State. And then he spends part of the year touring the world, giving talks and workshops and inviting people into this wisdom and learning about gratitude and about spiritual presence. He is one of the few people in the Benedictine order who is in official conversation with Zen Buddhism. The Vatican said it was all right for that conversation to happen, and he's been in it since 1970. And you can hear that thinking in his practices. And you can tell that he's been at it for a long time, observing and developing his thinking about gratitude and happiness and a meaningful life, because he can describe his way to grateful living with just three words. That's how you know people have really thought about it. They've got it down to just... And he says it's about stop, look, go. A little bit like crossing the street, he says. Stop means Stop. In the midst of your day, in the midst of your preoccupations, in the midst of your hurrying, in the midst of what you hope will or won't happen, just stop. Notice what is happening. He tells the story of living in Africa for some time and then returning to the States and being overwhelmed with gratitude every time he turned on the tap and clean water came out. And so for quite a while, he was deeply grateful for every drop of water. And then he noticed that after a while, he would turn the water on and not even notice. He had started to take it for granted. And so he says he put stickers on the faucet for a little while, hoping that he would get himself to stop and notice again. Notice, oh, water. This is here, and it might not be here. You probably recognize that sensation of, for some period of time, being keenly aware of something and then that fading away. Brother David says, when you stop, open all your senses and joy. Then you can also open your heart. And that's what I think he means by look. Look with our eyes and with our inner eyes, with our hearts, our deepest selves. He says when we open our hearts to the opportunities invite us into something that we can do. And that is what life offers in the present moment. And that, of course, is how he gets to go. Every moment when we actually see what it is invites us into a chance to participate in the world. He observes that we always admire people who respond to what is coming up in the world, who are able to stop and see it and then go and meet it. That we're always impressed by people who can do that consistently. He says, can we be grateful for everything? Can we be grateful for every given moment and for the opportunity that is given to us to learn something, to learn patience, to stand up for our convictions, to learn to suffer, to learn to stand up again? These are all opportunities. We admire those who take these opportunities, and those of us who fail, we get another opportunity in the next moment. He talks about this work of gratitude as being revolutionary, because he's pretty sure that when we stop and look and open our hearts with deep tenderness to the wonder of the world, we are prompted to act in fresh ways. And that makes it revolutionary work. And then he says that it's so revolutionary that it will revolutionize revolution itself. Just the sort of statement that I am excited about. He said that many revolutions just try to turn the traditional pyramid upside down. And he said, that doesn't ever seem to really work. What we need is, he didn't use this language, but I think it would make sense to him, the interdependent web. That complex system of people who are alive and connected and noticing, who are connected to each other through gratitude and through the joy and fearlessness that come with gratitude. And so I would like to invite you into one more experiment this month, which is experimenting with a month of having a gratitude practice, that we might all do that together. And you might do it because you're interested in being part of a revolution that revolutionizes revolution. Or you might be part of it because a number of studies, in addition to life observation, have found that it is indeed true that grateful people are happy people. That having a practice of being grateful just makes us happier. So revolution or happiness, maybe they go together. So engage in this experiment and see if you're a little happier at the end of the month. And it's useful to do it together. There are, in fact, of course, a number of websites out there where you can sign up and do a gratitude challenge together. And I thought about signing us all up, and then I thought maybe you wouldn't want to be signed up for something, especially at this moment right around the election. Being involuntarily signed up might not make you feel especially grateful. And we are about people choosing what they do here. So I invite you into a gratitude practice for the month. And I will make a number of different practices available to you in a number of different ways. Of course, on Sunday morning, I will always offer a few. I will put some up on our Facebook page. When our new website is launched later this month, we'll put some gratitude practices up there. And we'll pass out some cards next week so that you can take some practices home with you. So you might do a sampler plate all month long of all of the different practices that come your way. Or you might just pick one and stick with it all month and see what happens. And we're offering, after the services this month, a chance to be in conversation with each other about your gratitude practices. Because people have also found that getting to reflect together about it changes how you understand yourself. And it lets you see each other, which is part of building that interdependent web. So today, you might just borrow the practice from the minister who was responding to that 7-year-old girl. End or begin your day just thinking or writing, "Today I am grateful for," "Today I am sorry about," "Tomorrow I hope." If there's someone in your life who you can talk that over with, you might do that. You might talk that over with your own higher power. What really matters, of course, is that you mean what you're saying. "Today I am grateful for," "Today I am sorry about," "Tomorrow I hope." That might be your whole practice for learning, for remembering, to stop, look, go.